This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. You know I love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I'm always encouraging you, always, to spend this time with us Monday through Friday and to join us on our program. We're a live program, and we certainly do make the option available to you to join us here on Women of Grace Live. To that end, I invite you to use our toll-free number. That number is 833-288-3986. It's 833-288-EWTN. So I encourage you, don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. I sure do want to hear from you today. And so does Matthew Gabensky. He is out there doing our call screening for us. He looks forward to hearing from you. He certainly does. And I want to encourage you also to use the chat feature that's available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We will get it and we'll get it up on the board for you, and we will be able to address whatever your concern might be at this moment in time. And oh my goodness, there's so much to be praying for. You know, today is Election Day. We're going to be talking about that in just a moment, but we're going to be looking at all of these things through the light of faith, right? Because that is the lens through which we desire to perceive everything. We want to see everything through the vision and the gaze that comes to us by way of our faith through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. And that certainly can give us different perspectives on ever so very many things. So we'll be talking about that today a little bit. As a matter of fact, I want to get into morning prayer with you today. The liturgy of the hours, I didn't think could be more perfect. It was really, really, is perfecter a word? I don't think so. It couldn't have been more perfect. So we'll be talking about that as we move forward. We're going to be talking about the angels maybe a little bit. We're going to be talking about whatever you want to discuss. And oftentimes, you very well know that you set the topic and the direction for the program through your calls. So do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That is a toll-free number for you right here in North America. You know, if you're outside of North America, though, we don't want you to despair in any way, because we've got good news for you. We're available for you, too. And the way that you can join us is by calling us at this number, beginning with the country code, which is 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. So as I say, don't be shy. We do want to hear from you today. And as I say, you know, your insights and your inspiration, your words of encouragement, all of that goes so far in helping this program to continue to move out in its mission. And what is its mission? Well, it's very simple. We want to bring the healing love of Jesus Christ to the world. Yes, we do. Our Lord is a profound healer. He heals us on every level of our being. Yes, he does. And he lifts us up when we feel low. Oh my goodness. And our wings seem to be dragging, you know, and we just can't take off in flight and soar to the heights. Our Lord is there for us. He certainly is. He's there in ever so very many ways. So we invite you to use all of the means that we have available for you to join us. One other one I want to mention, you can join us by texting us. You can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a little pithy, you know, comment from us, and then put in your relatively pithy response. I love that word pithy. You know, I just, you know, I love words. We talk about this all the time. I love words. And, you know, I always thought that pithy was a rather pejorative word. I guess it can be used in some contexts, but all pithy means is really short and concise. That's really what pithy means in its true and authentic meaning. Now, I mean, of course, you can have a short and precise comment that is curt, you know, that is unkind. But, you know, pithy, when I use it, especially in relation to your comments, simply means, you know, keep it short. It's a text message after all, right? So you want to keep it short. You know, you want to let us know also who you are. I love knowing what your name is. It's very important. You know, we have a name. And that's an important reality. So we want to know what your name is. We want to know where you're contacting us from. We also would like to know how it is that you're listening to us. It's valuable information for us here. Not that we do much with it. I'm not sure if you know or not, but you know, EWTN television nor radio subscribes to rating systems. We don't have rating systems. There's a lot of rating systems. I grew up in an area of Florida that is right near probably one of the biggest rating conglomerates. I don't know if it's still there, though. I think it is. In Dunedin, Florida, D-U-N-E-D-I-N, named for a city in Scotland. Also, where the governor of Florida is from, Governor Ron DeSantis, grew up right there in Dunedin, went to Dunedin High. I taught at Dunedin High for a couple of years. Well, more than a little couple. It was a good couple of years. Prior to his coming, I stopped teaching long before. I'll bet you I'd stopped teaching shortly around the time that he was born. So I never taught Governor DeSantis. I can't take any credit for him, although Dunedin High School can for sure. But anyway, and that rating company was one of the predominant ones, one of the early ones, and employed a whole bunch of people in that area. But all of that being said, EWTN doesn't subscribe to that rating conglomerate, nor any other rating conglomerate for that matter. So we really don't know. So when you let us know where you're calling from, it kind of gives us some insight on stuff. It's helpful to me, you know. I mean, it's helpful to me. I figure that every call that we receive probably equates to about, I don't know, several hundred to maybe, you know, a couple of thousand people that have the same question and that might be listening today. So, golly gee, when you call in, you're just kind of giving us some, you know, it becomes kind of inside baseball. You know, I don't ever really know what that term means. Anyway, we're going to move on because I'm clearly rambling at this moment in time. You know why? Because I have all kinds of nervous energy. Eager to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Do want to let you know, too, that we've got all kinds of great things happening for you at Women of Grace. I'll tell you, did you know, here's a little strange factoid. Did you know how it is that bamboo grows? Did you know that like a bamboo, I don't know if it's a seed or what it is, but they plant it in the ground and it takes, I think, 7 years, some extraordinary number of years before anything whatsoever happens. And then all of a sudden, what happens is the whole rice field just seems to be popping up everywhere. The shoots, etc. You go out one day, there's nothing. The next day, all of a sudden, it is just full. And we coined an expression several years ago at Women of Grace at a key moment of growth in our outreach to women. We called it BAM booming. We said Women of Grace is BAM booming. Well, we're feeling that we're into another BAM booming cycle here. And, you know, we're just seeing Women of Grace popping up in all kinds of places. And that makes me giddy. Why? Because, you know, I really don't measure. I don't go, you know, there should ever, never be talk of competition within an apostolic world. There shouldn't be, because we're not in competition. We're all working for the one good. But what it helps me to see is, are we reaching more and more women with the good news of who they are in Christ Jesus? That's what it says to me. And it makes me so glad and so happy in my soul, because I know that we're raising up mini Marys out there. So get out to our website. I'll tell you more about that on the other side of the break. Coming right back, 833-288-EWTN. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. I'm so happy to be with you today. I certainly am. Looking forward to hearing from you. We've got Jody out there. We're going to go to her in just a minute. But I want to encourage you to call, too. And the way that you can do that is 833-288-EWTN. That number is toll-free for you right here in North America. So I don't want you to be shy. Just punch those numbers in. We're very friendly. We're very friendly. We have Matthew Gubinski out there on the phones. He is a very friendly man. I'm a very friendly host. So we're going to make you feel welcome and comfortable. So don't be shy about it. Don't delay. Call right away. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the toll-free number for you right here in North America. We're also available for you, you know, if you're not in North America and your number is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Also, want to let you know, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel is there for you. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We're going to get it retrieved and up on the board, and we will be happy to address your concern today. Text the letters EWTN to 58177 to leave a text message for us. So you can text EWTN to 58177. Wait for the response. Put in your question or comment. Let us know who you are, where you're calling from, how you're listening. Do know that message and data rates may apply. I didn't mention that, I don't think, before the break, but message and data rates may apply. So you're going to want to be aware of that. So I went back out here. I wanted to fact check myself, you know, or so into fact checking today, but I wanted to do it for myself. So it tells us that it usually takes 7 to 10 years for the bamboo grove to reach maturity. And it talks about it has to be a Chinese bamboo tree takes 5 years to grow. It has to be watered and fertilized in the ground where it has been planted. And it has to be watered and fertilized every single day. It says it doesn't break through the ground for 5 years. I thought it was 7, but it's 7 to 10 to grow to maturity. But get that. It takes 5 years for it to break through the ground. It will grow 90 feet tall in 5 weeks. That is crazy stuff, isn't it? I mean, you talk about perseverance. Think of the bamboo farmer and the perseverance and the patience it takes. He better have like a side job, a little side hustle going on or something, because he's got to wait 5 years for anything to happen. But then it happens really, really quickly. And that's what we were referring to with Women of Grace. And we're into this bam-booming trajectory right now. And I want you to get out to our website and find out all about it. Why is it hitting and striking a chord now? These are the questions I ask myself in prayer and I ask the Lord. You know, and I think it's because the circumstances are so dire. I know in my heart of hearts that Women of Grace was raised up for such a time as this. I know it. It was raised up 21 years ago. For such a time as this. It was 21 years ago last month, right? And the fact of the matter is that then it was very important, but now the need is so great because women have truly lost an identification with who they are in the eyes of God. And we want to help them be reminded of that great reality of who they are, because I am thoroughly convinced that, you know, today, in a very special way, the requirement is on women to change the trajectory of the world. In a certain way, it's always sort of been that way. If you look in sacred scripture and you go to the second book of Genesis, I could go on and on. I'm not going to go into this too deeply, but you're going to see that Adam was lost. He didn't know who he was until God created Eve for him. And he says, at last, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. What is he saying? I know who I am when I look at her. And I think that one of the reasons why the evil one always attacks the woman is because if he takes out the woman, he takes out everything. Remember, after the fall of man, which also came by Eve, and this tells us something very important. We can walk in the footsteps of Mary, or we can walk in the footsteps of Eve. If we walk in the footsteps of Eve, perdition. If we walk in the footsteps of Mary, salvation. Isn't that interesting? I mean, the dichotomy couldn't be more clear, right? Today, we have been for generations now walking in the footsteps of Eve. And we see the devastation around us and we scratch our heads and we, you know, try to put band-aids on the world situation and on the national situation, on the cultural situation, on our family situation. But band-aids, eventually the adhesive wears loose. The band-aid comes off. And in many cases, we find that the wound is still there. It's still exposed, and we don't know what to do about it. Well, I do know what to do about it. I do know. Holy Mother Church knows what to do about it. Our Blessed Lady knows what to do about it, and she's been about doing it ever since her fiat. And what is it? We bring Jesus Christ to the world and the world to Jesus Christ. And women can do that in a way that is fundamentally different too from the way in which man does it. Both are necessary. It's the complementarity of the sexes. But a woman, by the very virtue of the fact that she can bring life into the world, the potentiality for life exists within her to contain within herself another human person, says everything. And so what has the evil one done? He's waged a war against woman, and most specifically against her motherhood. See, we've got to beg God to give us prophetic eyes. We've got to beg God to help us to see through the milieu to what is actually going on. And when we see what is going on, we see it so clearly. We see it so clearly. And that is why this is a very, very consequential election. I promised we would talk about that. We're going to do it more. But you know what? I want to get out here to our phone lines because Jody is with us. And I want to tell you what. Jody is facing something where I think that she stands a really good chance of being a mini Mary in a situation. And we all need to be considering the fact that we need to be mini Marys. Jody is with us, a first time caller. Where is my bell? I don't have my bell over here. I had a bell over here. What did I do with it? I moved it. That was not a good idea. So maybe Rich, at some point during Jody's call, you can ring our bell to welcome her. There it is, right at the top. I really appreciate it, Rich. Rich is our producer extraordinaire. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jody is calling us from Denver, Colorado, listening on Sirius XM Station 130. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're ever so welcome. I'm delighted.
Yeah. So I have a question for you, and I was hoping maybe you can give me some gentle and loving guidance for my friends. I had a kind of a sad thing happen to me and my family earlier this year. My husband of 27 years left and abandoned us.
Oh, Jody.
So it's been a really tough year. But out of it, I just made some beautiful, deeper friendships with people that I already knew, but they just became so deep, so much deeper because of how much they wanted to help me. So,
yes.
So I have these two friends that have just been amazing and everything. Well, they have been inviting. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I didn't say anything.
Go ahead. They've been so amazing to me, and they've been inviting me to come with them to meditation. And I put them off a few different times, but they really just keep inviting me. And I'm looking for like a gentle and loving way to talk to them about it. Or maybe I can just go and say the rosary while they're meditating, which I would like to do to be able to support them in terms of being there for them. But I don't know if that is wrong of me to do that.
So, Jody, of course, you know, the question that I'm going to ask you is what kind of meditation are they doing?
I don't exactly know. I've never gone, but I think it is, you know, not in line with what we believe. I think they have like some readings or something that they do, and they sit and a guy kind of guides them, and I think he rings a bell every once in a while or something. I don't know exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that that's the first thing that you ask them, since they continue to prevail upon you to join them. It would be wise for you to investigate what it is that they're doing and simply ask them, you know, well tell me a little bit about this meditation. What kind of meditation is it? What is it that you're reading? How is it that the guide guides you? And when does he ring the bell? I mean, these are things obviously that you know that they're involved with, or at least it's part of this program that they're engaged in. So I think that the door is open for you to ask. And then you can evaluate. So, you know, if the meditation that they're doing is non-Christian meditation, and I'll describe Christian meditation in just a minute, but if it's non-Christian meditation, it certainly isn't anything that you want to get involved in. You certainly want to stay away from any kind of Hindu meditation, Buddhist meditation, anything that suggests Eastern Oriental mysticism. You don't want to get involved because that would be...
I think it is that. Yeah,
okay.
I think it is.
Good. All right. Well, then if that's the case, then you don't want to get involved. And once they describe it to you, I mean, you should give them a forum, give them an opportunity to explain it to you. I think that that's the charitable thing to do. But then what you can say is, well, you know, of course, you know, I'm a Christian and there is meditation available to me. And that's the kind of meditation that I prefer to do. And so we in our faith tradition have a very, very long standing form of meditation, which is called Lectio Divina. And what does that mean? It means holy reading. That's why I was asking you, so what are they reading? You know, like if they're reading the Upanishads and stuff like that, you don't want to get involved. But if they're reading scripture, then you might want to go a little bit to the next stage. What do you do with that scripture? In Lectio Divina, we read that scripture. And, you know, it's just beautiful because I think it was yesterday. Was it yesterday? We celebrated the feast day of a beautiful saint. Let me see who it was now. Let me just check. Oh, I'm flipping. I think it was Charles Borromeo. It is. So it was yesterday was the feast day of St. Charles Borromeo. And he was advising priests on how it is to pray. And he talks about meditation. And he gives us, I think, that you know, a really, really good, you know, short form kind of definition, you know, to tell us, as well as the practice of it. He says, my brothers, you must realize that for us churchmen, now remember, he's writing to priests, but this applies to the lay faithful too, nothing is more necessary than meditation. We must meditate before, during, and after everything we do. The prophet says, I will pray and then I will understand. So he talks about this. He says, when you administer, and now here he's telling us how to meditate. When you administer the sacraments, meditate on what you are doing. I would change that to the lay faithful. When you receive the sacraments, meditate on what you are doing. When you celebrate Mass, reflect on the sacrifice you are offering. When you pray the office, think about the words you are saying and the Lord to whom you are speaking. When you take care of your people, meditate on the Lord's blood that has washed them clean. In this way, he says, all that you do becomes a work of love. This is the way we can easily overcome the countless difficulties we have to face day after day, which after all are part of our work. In meditation, we find the strength to bring Christ to birth in ourselves and in other men. And that is such a statement that applies, of course, to every baptized Christian, but applies to women in a particular way because we understand about birth. So there we have that. So, you know, when we talk about Lectio Divina, we're talking about holy reading. We select a passage from scripture, or we might be praying, you know, morning prayer or the office of readings or evening prayer from the breviary. And we'll take that psalm and we'll sit with it. You know, so we'll read a portion and we'll say, Lord, you know, what did you mean to the psalmist? What is the psalmist saying to you here? How does this relate to me in my life? What specific word through this are you saying to me? And how can I then begin to live this in my life? That is Christian meditation. And you can use, as I say, sacred scripture. Of course, the office, you know, anything in the breviary is really based on sacred scripture. Even the writings of the saints that come in here, like I just read Charles Borromeo. I mean, you know, obviously based on scripture, though it is not scripture itself, any kind of spiritual or inspirational reading that is in line with the teachings of the church there. So that is what meditation is. And so, you know, hopefully, Jody, you practice this, even if you didn't know that that's what you were doing. Hopefully you do this. So I would say to your friends, well, thank you so much. Oh my gosh, you know, you've been so good to me and I love you so much. And your desire to incorporate me into this aspect of your life that seems to be so important to you is really, really very generous of you. But I do meditate. And this is the way that I meditate. You understand, of course, that I'm a Christian. I don't know if you're Catholic or not, Jody, but if you are, you could even say I'm Catholic. And these are the guidelines. This is the way in which true meditation has grown up within the context of our Catholic faith, within the context of the coming of Christ our Lord, with the very way in which Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, being mindful of the words, not mindfulness, but being attentive to the words that we are praying. And suggest them, you know, say, you know, why don't we meditate together? Why don't we have a little time of prayer? We'll choose a passage of scripture. We'll allow the scripture to open itself to us through the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And then we can discuss it. You know, that would be a beautiful way to help them not only to clarify what it is that they're doing, and for you, obviously, to make a charitable and loving response to them, but you would also be investing yourself in their development as coming into the fullness of truth, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. That He is the way. There's not other ways. There's no other way to Jesus. You know, I mean, except by way of the pattern that He's given us by His own life. There's no other way to come to the Father except through Jesus. So there's no other way really to experience eternal bliss, even to the extent that we can taste it in this life, except by way of Him. So it would be a means of evangelizing them, you know, and obviously really caring for them, because the greatest form of friendship is caring about their ultimate destiny, which is salvation. So, you know, that's what I would suggest, Jody. And you know, do, if you haven't used this method of prayer, you know, obviously do. It's called mental prayer. You know, Teresa of Avila talks with us about it. It is truly the path that leads to union with God. And that's what they're looking for. In their mind, this union is with the all is one, the universal energy force, the life force, or the, you know, divine oversoul, the cosmic oversoul. But that is not what it is, actually. So that's what I would really encourage you to do. Does that sound good to you?
Oh, thank you so much. I think that's a beautiful way to start our own meditation, because I really just was concerned about wanting to be there to not, I guess I was concerned about wanting to be a good friend and be present for something that they enjoyed and was important to them. But
yes.
I think they would respect what's important to me. And I know one of them is, one is Christian. The other one, I think, is fully kind of the Eastern.
Yes. Well, who knows where this will take them? Who knows, Jody? Thank you, sweetheart, for your call today. And we invite all you to call us as well. 833-288-EWTN. Coming right back after the break.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very, very happy to be with you today. Oh, golly gee. I love spending this time with you Monday through Friday. I certainly do. And I love hearing from you. We just heard a moment ago from Jody out there in Colorado, and she's really concerned for her friends that have been asking her to go to meditation. And you'll recall that she said that, you know, she thinks that they're doing Eastern Orient meditation, you know, that's really based on Hinduism and or Buddhism or any one of those other religions that would fall into that category. And we know that this is not what true meditation is. It is a type of we could get into what it's a type of, but it really is an attempt to come to a state of peace by way of creating that state of peace. And really, what it involves is the biochemistry of the body. But we know what true meditation is. And, you know, I know that sounds triumphalistic in a certain way, but the fact of the matter is, we know it because of history and experience, right? We also know that meditation, true meditation, is prayer. And prayer is what? Prayer, Teresa of Avila tells us, is nothing more than friendly conversation with God. So in our catechism, and Jody, I want to recommend you get a catechism if you don't have one, Catechism of the Catholic Church. If you go to paragraph 2705 through 2708, you are going to read a whole lot about what meditation truly is. And you can read this to your friends too. You know, it talks about many things, but I'm just going to cut to the chase and go to paragraph 2708 so that we can see the difference. It says, meditation, this is Christian meditation, engages thought, imagination, emotion, and desire. In Eastern Oriental mysticism, it is the opposite of this. It wants to actually shut down the functioning of our thinking process. It doesn't want thought. It doesn't want the use of our imagination. It certainly doesn't want emotion, and it doesn't want desire. We are to want all of these things. This is what meditation engages so that we can achieve what it is that God desires we achieve to move forward on our path to union with Him. It says this mobilization of faculties is necessary in order to deepen our convictions of faith, prompt the conversion of our heart, and strengthen our will to follow Christ. Christian prayer tries above all to meditate on the mysteries of Christ as in Lectio Divina, or the rosary. I mentioned Lectio Divina, holy reading, but the rosary as well. And I would add something to this, if I dare to do so, to the catechism. But I would put in Visio Divina. Thank you. It took me a minute to get there. Lectio is reading. Visio Divina, holy seeing. You can even look at a very beautiful picture, an icon, a religious work of art. And you can open yourself up to what is being shown there in the mystery that it's revealing, but also in the nuances that are put there by the artist that can help us to enter into the reality of that mystery, right? To take us into the eternal moment by way of it. It says, this form of prayerful reflection is of great value, but Christian prayer should go further to the knowledge of the love of the Lord Jesus, to union with Him. And see, meditation leads us to contemplative prayer, and that's what the next section of the Catechism goes into. So I really want to recommend to all of you, because these things are so prevalent in our culture today, these false forms of spirituality. So I want to recommend to you that you get a catechism. This is located in Part 4 under Christian Prayer. It's Article 1, Expressions of Prayer, beginning with Vocal Prayer at paragraph 2700, and then moving forward from there, meditation starting at 2705, like I said, and running through 2708. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. I do want to hear from you. I certainly do. All of the phone lines are open and available to you right now. And if the phone lines are quiet, I'm going to take that because it means that everybody's out there voting today because it's a very important day. We all have to vote. We all have to vote. It is a moral obligation. Maybe I'll dip into the catechism and find that paragraph too. I do want to offer congratulations to our longtime EWTN radio partner, WOPG AM and FM, serving Greater Albany and Schenectady, New York, is celebrating, I'm going to ring my bell, 14 years with EWTN. Great big congratulations to Thomas and Laura Threlkeld. I don't think I've met you. I would love to meet you. And their great team at Pax et Bonum Radio from your friends here at EWTN. So I'm really, really happy that you're celebrating this great landmark. 14 years is beautiful. You know, that's 2 times 7. 7 is the number of perfection in sacred scripture. So 2 times 7 is perfection. That's really wonderful. 14 years. That's really wonderful. So thank you guys. And just keep doing what you're doing, because you're saving souls, you're healing hearts, you're bringing people to salvation. That's very important. So I told you I wanted to talk with you a moment about morning prayer. Speaking of Lectio Divina, it was a beautiful opportunity for me to enter deeply into prayer in light of what today is all about. So I'm turning now, I'm opening up my Liturgy of the Hours to Psalm 85. Well, first of all, the antiphon, the first antiphon, it couldn't be better phrased. It couldn't be a better prayer to offer to the Lord today. Lord, you have blessed your land. You have forgiven the sins of your people. Isn't that beautiful? When I read that antiphon, when I started off with morning prayer, and I read that antiphon, oh my goodness, I was shot through with hope. I was shot through with hope for our country. It was as if, you know, heaven was reaching down and saying, the land is blessed, Johnette. God has forgiven the sins of your people. And we look at the sins of our nation. There are so many. It's made up of broken and fallen people. Everyone in political office is a broken and fallen person. We know that. We know it to be true. We know it because, you know, we're all scathed by original sin. The sin itself might be gone by way of the baptismal waters that we received, by way of the sacrament. But the fact of the matter is, the residual effect remains. And so is there anything perfect that we can do? Well, no, only one is perfect, and that's God. And unless God's doing the action through us, it's not a perfect action. So we can look at some of the things that we see right now that have been so predominant in our nation's history. And I don't have to name them. You know what they are. And they've only gotten worse. It is the word of Pope Paul VI in Humanae Vitae coming to fruition, even probably beyond what he could imagine at that point in time. Because how could we imagine that technology would actually advance to a point where people could have the arrogance and the hubris to believe that they could change the gender of another human person? I mean, that's ridiculous. And who would ever think that we would experiment on the bodies of individuals to see if it was possible, inclusive of the bodies of children? You know, I go back to the Second World War. This was the stuff that the Nazis did. This was the stuff of the Nuremberg trials, you know, where people were consigned to death or to imprisonment for life because of the heinous action against the human person that was done to Christians and to Jews. There's a movie coming out, Bonhoeffer. I certainly do want to see that. A Lutheran pastor, by the way. Wrote a tremendous book called The Cost of Discipleship. I don't know if Hollywood will do him justice. I'm really not sure what slant it'll take. But a man who certainly gave his life for the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. So, you know, anyway, all that being said, you know, I took great encouragement at that. And I want to read to you Psalm 85, which follows that antiphon, because I think it's beautiful. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today. So pick up the phone and give us a call. I'm waiting to hear from you. I certainly am waiting to hear from you. And I can certainly tell you that. Matthew Gubensky is waiting to hear from you too. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel available, or text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your name, where you're calling from, how you're listening, and do know that message and data rates may apply. Okay, so we start with the antiphon. Lord, you have blessed your land. You have forgiven the sins of your people. And here, Psalm 85, the heading is, our salvation is near. And it says this, God blessed the land when our Savior came to earth. That's a quote from Origen. And here's the psalm. O Lord, you once favored your land and revived the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the guilt of your people and covered all their sins. You averted all your rage. You calmed the heat of your anger. Revive us now, God, our helper. Put an end to your grievance against us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will your anger never cease? Will you not restore again our life, that your people may rejoice in you? Let us see, O Lord, your mercy, and give us your saving help. I will hear what the Lord God has to say, a voice that speaks of peace. Peace for his people and his friends and those who turn to him in their hearts. His help is near for those who fear him, and his glory will dwell in our land. Mercy and faithfulness have met. Justice and peace have embraced. Faithfulness shall spring from the earth and justice look down from heaven. The Lord will make us prosper, and our earth shall yield its fruit. Justice shall march before him, and peace shall follow his steps. Now, if we were going to do Lexio with this, we would pause. We would open ourselves up to the motivation of the psalmist when he sang this hymn to God. We would see what letters or words stood out to us in it. What phraseology caught us? Could it be, let us see, O Lord, your mercy and give us your saving help? A plea to the Lord? Could it be, I will hear what the Lord has to say, a voice that speaks of peace? And then perhaps we think of the way in which peace needs to enter our own hearts, our own families, our own country, our nation. Maybe our eyes, you know, are caught by the words, his help is near for those who fear him. And we say, Lord, what does it mean to fear you? Does it mean that servile fear, Lord, where I am afraid of you and your just punishment? Or is it more than that, Lord? Is it a holy fear? A fear of offending you? a fear of hurting you, whom I love so much? Is it a holy awe of your greatness and your power and your might? That's the fear that I desire to grow within me, Lord. Not a fear of retribution or just punishment. Surely I deserve all of that. But rather a fear sprung by the awe of your mercy, springing forth from your abundant, abundant love, springing forth from the fact that you don't give us what we deserve, but you temper it, Lord, according to our capacity to endure. Could be that. Do you see how it can move us into very deep prayer? And then in Lexio, we'll just sit with that now, because we cried out to the Lord and we've shared. And prayer is a conversation, as Teresa tells us, Teresa of Avila. What does the Lord say back? What does he whisper into your heart as you hear those words? Is he bringing you comfort or solace? Does his voice come by way of an emotion that wells up within you? Does his voice come by way of a memory that springs into your mind of a time in the past when his favor was shown to you, that now in him bringing that through the Holy Spirit and your angel into the forefront of your memory, now what grows in you is hope, deep consolation. Is it that? Does he speak to you that way through your memory? What about your imagination? What do you see in that? What do you see? You know, do you see the through the eyes of the Spirit what that peace looks like? Do you see reconciliation? Right? Is he using your imagination? Can you see yourself reconciling or seeking forgiveness from someone whom you've hurt? Maybe from God himself. Can you see that? You know, this then becomes prayer, and that's what leads us to contemplation. You know, there is nothing that Buddhism can offer us. There is nothing that Hinduism can offer us that compares with a moment of prayer like that. No. It's incapable of healing the heart. It's incapable of refreshing the soul. It is incapable of leading us ever more deeply into the inner confines of the heart of God himself. We never want to trade the authentic for the counterfeit. We don't want to become bound up in counterfeit means. That's not where God wants us to go. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony is in San Antonio, Texas today, and he is listening to us via Guadalupe Catholic Radio. Oh my goodness, I love me some Guadalupe Catholic Radio. Hey, Anthony, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing great.
Good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Sure. So share with us what's on your mind.
So I was listening, it was last week, and you had mentioned, you said that there was, you were talking about the election.
Yes.
When it comes to the election, that there's only one candidate whose policies and platform align with, you know, what God teaches. And one thing,
well, most closely.
Yeah, mostly closely. Yeah.
Okay.
So where I'm conflicted in casting my ballot today is, do we forget about who the person is and the things they've done in their life, even though some of the things they've done go against what God taught us? Do we forget the person? I guess that's my question.
Well, Anthony, you know what? I'll tell you, that is an excellent question, because here you're talking mm-hmm. about a matter of character, right?
Yeah.
So in some ways, what we have to do is we have to evaluate. We've got a misunderstanding within our culture today. Our culture says, well, you can't judge me. And that's true. But what does judgment truly mean in light of the teaching of our Lord Jesus? Judging means that we cannot judge the ultimate destiny of an individual. But we can't evaluate their actions. We can't evaluate the way in which a life has been led. Certainly in the political realm, we can't evaluate their policies and measure them against the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teaching of the church. And we certainly can evaluate the way in which they conducted themselves in a political way in the past. So we can evaluate all of that. I'll tell you what, I certainly wouldn't want to be judged or evaluated on the deeds that I've committed in the past. You know, I've shared quite openly on Catholic radio and in front of, you know, television viewers, as well as out there in the public square, that I led a dissolute life for a lot of years. But I had a deep conversion of heart. And now I strive to live my life for the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, according to the teachings of the church that he created, that he built up, that he founded. And that's the Catholic Church. So, you know, we have to give some room for the fact that people can have, you know, a metanoia, a change in direction, right? So, yeah, we can look at how they lived in the past. But what we want to ask ourselves is this, is there reason to believe that they no longer live by that? And one of the ways in which in the political realm we can evaluate that is, how do they vote on issues? Where do they stand on issues that are of supreme importance to the common good and to the human person? And there is a hierarchy of value in that. And again, this is something that even within the church, unfortunately, people have wanted to create as all of a warp and a woof. But that's not what the church teaches. There is a hierarchy of value. And the most important value is human life. That's the most important value. Because in all of creation, there is only one of God's creation that is created in his image and in his likeness, and that is man. And when I use the word man, I mean all of humanity. Every human person who has ever been conceived, every human person who has ever been conceived is made in the image and likeness of God and comes by will of the Father, no matter the means by which that person is conceived. So the person who, you know, ultimately, you know, the person who most adheres to that, you know, we don't have a perfect candidate with regard to that right now, but the person that most adheres to that, that is most in line with that, is what we look at. And then we are free to move on to other issues that are of importance. You know, we could look at some of the other issues that are plaguing our society today. You know, do they most uphold the dignity and the value of the human person? You know, and of course, when we talk about human persons, we know that we all need governance, right? We all need laws and we all need commandments that affect the way in which we conduct our lives. Obedience to the law is an important one. You know, Jesus tells us, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's, right? So we want to obey. We want to obey the civil law that is ours. So, you know, I think that you know, since you haven't cast your ballot, Anthony, these are the questions to ask. And sometimes, you know, we really don't like the person. But God doesn't tell us that we have to like people. Nowhere in Scripture does it say you have to like. What it says in Scripture is you have to love. Now, love is very different than like. Like is a matter of how we feel emotionally. Right? It's rated according to, you know, our own internal temperament towards somebody or something. But love isn't that. Love is a decision. It's not an emotion, it's a decision. And we love why? We love because of who the human person is. And who is the human person fundamentally? The human person is an image and likeness of God. Not God, but an image and likeness of God, whom God has selected to have life. I'll tell you, there's been times, Anthony, I admit this very freely, there's been times when I have said, you know, Lord, I know you're crazy in love with this individual, but I just can't stomach them. So you're going to have to give me some of your love for this person because my own weakness of heart is not strong enough to overcome my repugnance. Sometimes we have to pray that way. But you know, it's a funny thing. And I've found this, Anthony, in my own life. It's a funny thing. When you begin to pray for the people who most repulse you, God, you know, he injects. It's like love in a syringe. You know, I mean, he pierces your heart and pierces your heart with his own love for that person. And you find that you're praying for this person more and more and more. And the more you pray, the more you see the value of that human person. So what I would ask you to do is don't base it, you know, and no one should base a vote on how do I feel about this person. You base it on what this person says, what they've shown in the past, and how they're acting. Does it mean that they've never sinned, even sinned gravely? Does not mean that. But what it does mean is that there's an about face that we can see happening in that person's life, and a remorse for the way in which they lived in the past. So, you know, that's what I would suggest to you, good man. And do cast your ballot. It's a very, very consequential and important election. Sometimes we just hold our nose and we vote. So, God bless you, Anthony. Bye-bye now.